In this segment, we're going to review some of the ethical issues that are involved with the reliability engineering that are common across most any profession, and many of the other professional societies of engineers also have similar codes of conduct or code of ethics associated with them. Now, most of this is common sense, but a quick review will help you understand how it could be tested on the exam. The basic premise is that if we are above board and stay honest and true, if we let the data represent itself without undue influence, if we present our information without undue bias, if we act in honest and forthright manner, we're not going to have any issues. And most of us operate this way anyway. It's when we cross that border, when we make a recommendation because we have a financial kickback, that we cross the line and become unethical in our dealings. And there are other examples. One way to get a sense of what's all involved with this is in the code of ethics. ASQ, like other professional societies and other organizations, have a published code of ethics. And I'll add a link to this document in the lesson notes. But if you read through this, it really is just common sense. It's most of the time, it's that golden rule of, you know, treat others like you'd want to be treated yourself. You don't engage in deceptive practices or in sway hard decisions by what's best for you alone. Being an engineer and working as a reliability professional, we're often having to think for the customer and help them be heard at the design table. And so part of what we do is much larger than ourselves. And with many engineers, our work is involved with the improvement to society or the betterment of society. So it's keeping those things in mind and a bit of common sense is most of all what we need to do. So the relationship between ourselves and our clients and society, employee, employer, is really just looking for that we're honest and forthright and provide information clearly and accurately. And it doesn't mean that we have to disclose everything. There's still elements of trade secrets and business practices that we wouldn't necessarily share that information with our clients, for example, or our customers. Yet there are elements of, will this product work and how long will it work, will operate? What's its expected reliability? That if we know it's less than a year and a customer, and we tell a customer that it's 10 years, which influences them to buy that product, that's crossing the line as a quick example. Employers are often looking at the notion of, let's say you're working as a reliability engineer in a factory, but you have the opportunity to consult with another factory as their reliability engineer and give them some advice. That may or may not be all right with your employer, and depending on the policies of moonlighting or working outside of your employment in a similar field. And you can see where that can be a problem, especially if you're working with competitors or somebody close enough to be a competitor. But it also includes the notion that as a reliability professional that we have a set of technical competence. When we provide advice, we're carrying the weight of our skills and background and experience. And so it's a burden to us to maintain that technical competence. And the last part is that if we're charged with confidential information, whether it's a purchasing history or material makeup or whatever it happens to be, is that we should guard that and not disclose it unwillingly or even willingly. we should protect the information that we've been trusted with. Now, one area that's, I think, the most interesting is the conflict of interest. So let's say you're going to recommend a component or, say, a power supply is being purchased, and you have the influence on helping make that decision with your organization. Well, if you just happen to have a brother-in-law that manufactures a power supply, and you recommend them, even though you know it's not necessarily the best power supply to purchase, even if it is the best, it's one of these things where conflict of interest can be a real conflict of interest. Maybe you are getting a kickback from your associate or your relative for influencing this decision, so you would actually personally benefit from that outcome. But even if that doesn't occur and everything is honest, but it even if it is the best power supply, you could make that recommendation, but also with the caveat that you're have the appearance of a conflict of interest, is that it's a relative of yours that's going to benefit from this, and that you as in your family may indirectly benefit as a result. So it's the conflict of interest area is those real places where you're actually crossing the line and doing something dishonest. But more importantly, it's when you have the appearance of conflict of interest. So it's something to think through as to how would this situation be viewed by other people? Would they consider it that I would have an undue influence on the advice I was giving? And in those cases, bring it up. Talk about it with your team and with your leadership and your management to make sure that everybody's clear whether or not you have a conflict of interest and should be excused from participating in that particular decision. So a couple other examples on the screen, but the basic idea is that where you either gain materially directly from the advice or the decision you're making, or that you have the appearance that that could happen. And making recommendations to relatives is one of those areas that's an easy example. But there's plenty of other examples or situations, and you yourself and a little common sense are probably the best judge. But when in doubt, go talk to somebody. Go bounce this off a handful of people to see if your hunch is correct, that it is a conflict of interest or it's not. So, you know, how honest do you need to be? I think it was Mark Twain that said it's easier to tell the truth because and I'm sure I'm not getting the quote quite right, but it's easier to keep track if you just tell the truth. There is that boundary, though, of things that are confidential information or trade secret type information that you don't need to voluntarily provide. So there is a gray line here, but it's more towards be honest and truthful in the way you would like to be treated yourself. And that usually is where I put it down as just common sense. In the next section, we'll take a look at our role as reliability professionals, especially when it comes to safety and liability.